You're with SBS Radio.
Shalom, Australia. Last Sunday, Israel conducted a rare daylight missile attack on Iranian targets in Syria. In response, Iran fired a surface-to-surface missile at the northern Golan Heights, which was intercepted by the Iron Dome missile defense system over the Mount Hermon ski resort. Hours later, in the pre-dawn hours of Monday morning, the Air Force launched retaliatory strikes on Iranian targets near Damascus and on the Syrian air defense batteries that fired on the attacking Israeli fighter jets. A British-based Syrian war monitor said 21 people were killed in the Israeli raids, 12 of them Iranian fighters. Bashar Jafari is Syria's envoy to the United Nations, warned on Tuesday that if the world body did not halt Israeli strikes on his country, Syria would retaliate with an attack on Ben Gurion International Airport. Jafari said Israel was only able to act freely in Syria because it had the backing of the US, UK and France in the Security Council. Due to the escalating tensions, the IDF deployed Iron Dome missile defense systems in central and southern Israel. One battery was deployed in the Tel Aviv metropolitan area. The Air Force launched airstrikes against multiple Hamas targets in northern Gaza Strip on Tuesday night, following two border clashes earlier in the day, including one in which a sniper shot an IDF officer in his helmet, causing him mild injuries. On Wednesday night, shots were fired by unknown assailants at Israeli soldiers stationed along the Syrian border. There were no Israeli casualties. Border police officers entered the Shuafat refugee camp in East Jerusalem on Thursday to arrest youths who were throwing Molotov cocktails at a main road that runs near the camp. One of the youths refused to stop the attacks, and undercover officers shot and seriously wounded him. A 16-year-old Palestinian was shot dead near Ramallah on Friday evening. The teen was with two others throwing rocks at Israeli cars near Route 60 and Main West Bank Road. Troops fired at the three, hitting two of them. Soldiers administered medical assistance to the wounded, but the 16-year-old died of his injuries. The army said it was reviewing the incident. Last night, another Palestinian was shot dead in clashes between settlers and Palestinians where troops were involved. It is not clear who shot the unarmed Palestinian. On Thursday, a 16-year-old student at the Pri Haaretz Yeshiva in the northern West Bank settlement of Rechilim was charged with manslaughter, aggravated stone throwing at a moving vehicle, and intentional sabotage of a vehicle. Each of these charges is connected to the October killing of Aisha Rabi, a 47-year-old Palestinian mother of eight. The Shin Bet Security Service released a statement that said that the Jewish teenager had committed a terror attack in every sense. The Shin Bet accused far-right activists of a persistent effort to obstruct the investigation. This included, on the morning after the terror attack, a Shabbat, a group of extremist activists who drove from Yitzhak to the yeshiva in Rechilim in order to brief the youth studying at the yeshiva how to prepare for and handle a Shin Bet interrogation. The statement said that far-right activists also launched an intensive and persistent effort to slander the Shin Bet and its officers and to delegitimize its activities. The behavior of these parties, who try to convince even those who are not involved in criminal activities to avoid any cooperation with law enforcement, is a very serious problem and instills in these youths the incorrect belief that they won't bear responsibility for their actions. The agency said it had treated the Jewish terror suspects as it treats all terror suspects. Thousands of impoverished Gazans received $100 payments from Qatar yesterday after the Gulf Emirate brought in over $9 million in aid funds to the Strip. Hundreds of people queued at post offices, each to collect a $100 bill. Half the funds were distributed yesterday and the rest will go to families today. Qatar has pledged to send $15 million to Gaza monthly as part of an informal agreement between Israel and Hamas reached in November. Under that deal, Israel allowed the grants to go through its territory in exchange for relative calm on the Gaza border. Until now, most of the funds have been used to pay the salaries of Hamas civil servants. The change to redirect distribution to the needy came after Israel held up the delivery of the cash for several days earlier in the week following a flare-up of violence. Hamas then refused to accept the money. Qatar announced on Friday it would use the money for humanitarian projects in coordination with the United Nations. Hamas was criticized from within Gaza for taking the money for its own officials. Qatari envoy Al-Amadi stressed that the aid money was not an attempt to buy the silence of border protesters and added that he affirmed the right of the Palestinian people to demonstrate. Some 5,000 people rallied at the Gaza border on Friday, a lower turnout than in previous weeks. Demonstrators burned tires and hurled stones at Israeli soldiers. The Hamas-run health ministry said one person was killed and 23 injured in the clashes. Campaigning for the April elections continues. Former IDF Chief of Staff Gabi Ashkenazi is being courted by candidates Benny Gantz and Yair Lapid to join their respective parties. But he has told both he will only enter the political fray if they unite in a bid to form a large centrist bloc. Gantz and Lapid share common ground, but neither is prepared to serve as number two on a joint slate. The ruling Likud party has consistently been polling at around 30 out of the 120 Knesset seats, although a recent survey found the party falling to 25 seats if the Attorney General announces an indictment against Netanyahu before the April 9th vote. Lapid and Gantz have both been vying for second place, polling at around 13 to 14 seats each. A recent survey on Israelis' preferred candidate for prime minister gave Netanyahu 41% to Gantz's 38% in a one-on-one scenario, marking the first time in years that any potential rival has come close to Netanyahu's figures. The same survey gave Netanyahu 45% to Lapid's 29%. Public Security Minister Gilad Erdan on Friday visited the family of Yehuda Biadga, 24, who was shot dead the previous week and told them he was closely following the investigation into the incident and that the policeman involved had been placed on leave. Biadga was killed near his home in Bat Yam after police said he charged at an officer with a knife. Police have denied Biadga's Ethiopian heritage was connected to the policeman's decision to open fire, saying he felt a credible fear for his life. Biadga's family members called police after he threatened his parents with a knife. They were concerned for his welfare. Biadga's brother-in-law, Hagos Ubo, said Yehuda had mental health problems and had recently stopped taking his medication. Suspicions were raised that the officer was too quick to use his weapon due to his underlying racial bias. The International Judo Federation World Judo Tour arrived in Israel for the first time. The Tel Aviv Grand Prix ran from Thursday until yesterday. Israel finished on top of the medal table among the 53 participating countries. Australia won one medal. The threat of Syrian missiles couldn't dampen Israelis' enthusiasm for witnessing record snowfall on the country's highest mountain, despite the army's one-day closure on Monday. 7,000 visitors came the next day when the park reopened, and on Wednesday the site hosted almost 10,000 visitors, close to capacity. And Israel celebrated Tu Bishvat, the new year for trees, on Monday, and on it, 70th anniversary of the first Knesset. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
sbs.com.au